extra holiday time to ward off sickness in China. With the Marketplace Morning Report in Austin, Texas, I'm Andy Euler in for David Brancaccio. The Chinese government is extending the Lunar New Year holiday in an attempt to curb the spread of the coronavirus, which has already killed at least 80 people. The outbreak is also having an effect on markets. Here to help us understand what that means is Julia Coronado. She's founder of Macro Policy Perspectives. Julia, good morning.
Good morning.
So it seems like we're already seeing the impact of the coronavirus on markets. Do we have a sense of the long-term effects here?
Not yet. I mean, we do know it's going to have a significant impact on Chinese GDP growth, given that it hit during the middle of their holiday season, which is peak consumer spending and travel season. But we still don't know the extent to which it's going to spread to within China and to other countries, hence the reason markets are so nervous about the extent to which it will affect the economy.
We're also hearing that investors are being pushed towards safe haven assets. Now, what does that mean exactly?
Well, that's always a boost to the U.S. because it means lower interest rates. So we've definitely seen both the worries about the coronavirus hitting oil prices as well as lowering longer-term interest rates, which means lower mortgage rates and borrowing rates for U.S. consumers. So flight to quality tends to be a positive for the U.S.
Julia Coronado is founder of Macro Policy Perspectives. Thank you so much for doing this.
My pleasure.
Let's do the numbers. The Dow Jones Industrial Average is under the weather, down 420 points. That's almost 1.5%. The S&P 500 is also down 1.4%. The NASDAQ is down 1.76%. Apple reports earnings tomorrow for the quarter that ended in December, during which the company launched a new streaming service, Apple TV Plus. Analysts are going to be watching for clues about how the service is doing in an increasingly crowded streaming market. Marketplace's Megan McCarty-Carino has more.
Research firm Ampere Analysis estimates Apple has gained more than 30 million subscribers in the U.S., more than Hulu or Disney Plus in the same period. But analyst Neil Seibert with Above Avalon says that big number, not quite what it seems.
Only a portion of those people are actually paying for it.
Because people get the streaming service for free with the purchase of a new Apple device. And Steve Nason with Parks Associates says converting those users into paying customers might be tricky.
At least currently, they're kind of getting maybe a little lost in the shuffle.
Apple is building buzz for The Morning Show, which just won Jennifer Aniston a SAG award, and lots of speculation about that post-win embrace with Brad Pitt. But CFRA analyst Angelo Zeno says Apple's going to need a lot of buzzy content.
The problem is they don't have the library there that many of their competitors out there do.
But Apple can't afford to buy all at once. It's got a couple of $100 billion in the bank. I'm Megan McCarty-Carino for Marketplace.
Kobe Bryant, the pro basketball MVP who had a 20-year career with the LA Lakers, died yesterday in a helicopter crash. His 13-year-old daughter, Gianna, was also on board and died along with seven others. Bryant was known for his tenacity on the court. Teammates remember him as the guy who, despite his amazing talent, simply outworked opponents. That attitude translated over to life after basketball. Kobe was an angel investor in many tech startups and other businesses. Professor Kenneth Shropshire at Arizona State University joins me now to discuss Kobe's life as a business. Ken, good morning.
Good morning.
Kobe was obviously hugely successful on the court. He had a 20-year career all in Los Angeles. Describe the business legacy that Kobe Bryant has left.
I think it was just beginning. We're not certain what direction he was going to fully take. He was really diverse in this kind of first few moments of retirement. He was involved with a venture capital fund, a $2 billion fund. He funded companies like Alibaba, Tile, kind of the device to find things, Cholula, hot sauce. He was clearly deeply engaged with women in sport, and you know, this last journey he was taking was, you know, girls basketball related, and he'd recently made big statements about the WNBA and the best women in that league could have.
I wanted to get to dedication to women's sports with you. You sort of hit on that, but this idea of Kobe being, you know, on the sidelines watching tons of WNBA games, but also being very outspoken. I mean, Rebecca Lobo, ESPN analyst, said she didn't think there was any bigger champion of women's athletics or women's certainly professional basketball than Kobe was. This was a really big deal to him, and he was training his daughters to be professional athletes, right?
Oh, and I think he was ready to find a way to see if his daughters could be that NBA daughter. He talked about just in the past couple of weeks about women having the ability to play in the NBA, that possibility exists. And he saw women today who could play. He was looking into the future.
Now, his legacy isn't without some difficult periods. There was the sexual assault charge in 2003. The charges were later dismissed. But did this have any bearing on his brand? Did it sully it a bit?
Frankly, I don't think there's any question about it. I think the one criticism that we unfortunately hear in these times when we look at the negative side of somebody's life is maybe how he did handle it. And maybe there was not as much energy as people would want to see of him addressing those types of sexual assault issues and leaving a greater message to men in this space going forward. But maybe what he did by living a much, you could say, better life from that moment forward was a message in itself.
It was interesting to read Bill Plaschke's column yesterday talking about how Kobe was Los Angeles. And I think a lot of people felt like that, right?
I think so. I had not really thought about that. Again, not living in L.A. now. I mean, I'm a guy that grew up with Jerry West and Elgin Baylor and kind of the older Lakers. And I had not really understood fully how much Kobe had become the face of Laker basketball. This sad moment solidified and clarified really who he is to Los Angeles.
Kenneth Shropshire is Adidas Distinguished Professor of Global Sport at Arizona State University. Kenneth, thank you so much for doing this.
Thank you.
Bryant was asked in a 2016 interview with CNBC if he wanted to be remembered for his legacy in basketball or investing in entrepreneurs. He said the latter.
Playing basketball, you know, the focus is always on winning. Winning championships, winning championships, winning championships. Now, championships come and go, right? There's going to be another team that wins another championship, another player that wins another MVP award. But if you really want to create something that lasts generations, you have to help inspire the next generation, right? And they create something great. And then that generation will inspire the one behind them, right? And that's when you create something forever. And that's what's most beautiful.
Kobe Bryant was 41 years old. I'm Andy Euler with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.